Shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Singing this morning. Well, that's good as we can get here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Praise the Lord. Appreciate it again, making a joyful noise unto the Lord, the Bible says, and we do that. And appreciate again each one participating in that. It's good to have Brother Bennett here again. And I was trying to figure out, the first year here, it had to be a leap year because it was February 29th again. But Brother Bennett reminded me of the time I said that he was my favorite preacher, and Harold Boyd was actually my favorite preacher. So,
favorite preacher,
but Brother Bennett is by far my favoritest living preacher. Praise the Lord! And the messages this week have been right on. And again, appreciate again his tone, his demeanor, his information that he gives here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Just been faithful for all these years here. I'm thinking it's like 20 years again that you've been coming ever since Brother Boyd died. And what a blessing to have Brother Cliff Bennett come to our pulpit and preach for us here again today. Lord bless you, my Lord.
God bless you, Father. Praise God. Amen. Well, I got to hurry because before Dave leaves, you got to get this message in. So.
Probably just almost 17.
Dave Cranmer. Man, I've got a book about like this, that thick, from just this church, man. Some of my adventures that I've had here, I want to tell you. Preacher comes all excited and says, "Hey, you want to go over to Bologna? We'll go to the Presbyterian Church and where Ingersoll's father was the pastor." Oh, okay. We went over there and we bought up a bunch of junk and found out that wasn't even the church. The church had burnt down years ago. That's just the beginning of sorrows, I'm going to tell you right now.
I still got my commemorative plate.
What did I buy? I bought something. I can't remember. I probably lost it in a move or something. Probably lost it on purpose. All right, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We'll get into the Word of God and find out what the Lord has for us out of His book. And again, I'll try to preach as quick as I can, so you got to get your ears in tune, and we'll see what we can glean this morning from the Word of God. Look, if you will, down here in Revelation 22, the last two verses, 20 and 21, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all the things that you have done for us. Thank you for the opportunity we have today to be in your house under the sound of the preaching of God's word. Lord, I just pray that as your word goes forth, that we'd open our hearts to the truth and apply the truth to our lives and leave here different than when we came. Lord, bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Herbert Lockyer, one of my favorite authors, actually, wrote a book called All the Prayers of the Bible. And he said in this book, actually, he didn't say it. It was the publishers that wrote this at the very beginning of the book. I read everything. When you get a book, don't just read the book. Read everything in it. I mean, read what the publisher said. Read what the author said. Read about the author. Get everything you can in that book. What's the sense of having a book if you don't read it all? And if there's a little flap on the back, read the flap on the back. What everybody said about it. You know, read everything you can. And, well, the publishers wrote this. In All the Prayers of the Bible, it says, exclusive of the Psalms, which form a prayer book on their own, the Bible records no fewer than 650 definite prayers, of which no less than 450 have recorded answers. So we find in this book that we call the Bible, there's no fewer than 650 prayers. Now, that's not talking about the Psalms. Okay, it said it's exclusive of the Psalms. That's what exclusive means, you know, apart from. So the rest of it, 650 prayers and 450 recorded answers to prayers. You know, I mentioned this so many times. My wife just rolls her eyes when I say it. This is a prayer book. What does God expect of us? Well, you know, we can get all kinds of answers of what God expects of us. But I think our number one responsibility, our number one thing to do is prayer. How on earth are we ever going to get close to God if we never pray? How on earth? Think about this. What we have recorded here in verse 20 is the very last prayer of the Bible. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, I want to tell you something. That's quite a prayer, okay? Now, I know it's not lengthy. It's not, you know, it's not what we think that a prayer should be. It doesn't contain all the things that we read about in Matthew chapter 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And all of those things, it doesn't contain that. But John had just penned the most traumatic book of the Bible. And the horrifying things that he saw and witnessed in the book of Revelation. And he comes to the last two verses of the book. And he says, even so come, Lord Jesus. It was a heartfelt prayer. If there's probably no prayer in the Bible more meaningful than this prayer right here. Now I think of the publican who was in the temple praying. And he beat upon his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I mean, that was a heartfelt prayer. And then we come to this one, even so come, Lord Jesus. Now think about this with me. I'm going to preach quick, so you got to catch up. But this is a prayer that hasn't been answered yet. We're still waiting for the answer. So it's not included in the 450 recorded answers of prayer. It can't be because Jesus hasn't come back yet. But he's given us the promise that he will come back. And when John prayed this prayer, the foundation of this prayer was the promises. Notice here, Revelation chapter 22, the promises. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. That's Jesus. That's exactly what he said. Behold, I come quickly. He didn't say it just once. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Behold, I come quickly. He didn't just say it twice. A third time, verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Now, I believe that amen should be read, but whether that's it or not, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, here it is. That was the promises that were given in the last chapter of the Bible. Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. And on the foundation of those three promises, the Apostle John looks up to the Lord and says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been at this thing for a long time. I've been in the ministry for over 50 years. Now, I don't know how that's possible. I'm only 39. But the fact of the matter is that I've been around for a while. I've heard a lot of people. I remember when I worked in Christian schools. I worked in Christian schools for quite a few years. And I remember these kids coming to me and they says, can I talk to you, Brother Bennett? And I said, yes. And we'd go in my office and they'd sit down. And they say, well, I really don't want the Lord to come back because I've got all these plans. I've got all these things I want to do before the Lord comes back. Even so come, Lord Jesus, would come to the mind and think, you know, John didn't have any plans. All his plans were done. Matter of fact, if you think about John for just a minute, what could he plan? He was on the Isle of Patmos. He was in prison. I'm not real sure you make plans in prison unless you're planning to break out. But he was on the Isle of Patmos. What was he doing when he received this book from the Lord Jesus Christ? He was worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day. Why do we gather on Sunday? Because John did. He was worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day. He had church all by himself. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. My Bible says where two or three are gathered together. Wait a minute, John, you're only one. You can't do that. Well, yeah, he did. And Jesus made two.
Amen.
Oh, what a day he had. Well, anyhow, I want you to think about this. I want you to notice this prayer and think about three things I think I got written down. Yeah, I did. I just checked it over. There's three things here. Okay. Number one, we see John's confidence. We see his confidence. Listen, he was confident that the Lord made those promises. He was going to keep his word and that he was ready to go. Okay? He was confident. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 says, if you abide in me, you'll have confidence at his appearing. I want to tell you something. If you abide in Christ. Now, what does the word abide mean? Well, I looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. And I love the old dictionary. You know what? I don't have it anymore. I don't know what happened to my book. But I've got a thing called Google. And you can go to Webster's 1828 on Google. This thing is amazing. It's a lot lighter than the actual 1828 dictionary. And it's actually lighter than my Bible. I can read my Bible here. You know what? I remember coming here several years ago and all you people didn't have Bibles. You had tablets or whatever and you were looking at it. I said, all right, put your phones away. Get your Bibles out. Well, this is our phone. Well, you sold me. All right, now I'm in that same rut. So I looked it up in the Webster's 1828. And the word abide means rest. Continue. Continue permanently. Okay, so you're talking about abide in him. So what are we doing when we abide in Christ? We're resting in him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 says, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you work. Mm-hmm. No, that's right, rest. I will give you rest. You know, preacher, you're just asking us to do so much. It's so hard being a Christian. You just don't understand in the peer pressure. You don't understand what we go through in this world. People hate Christians. That's like we've got a target on our back. Rest.
Yeah.
Just rest. You know, one of the things I enjoy about going home is I got this big old lazy boy chair. And last night I talked to my wife, and she said that this we've got a girl that lives with us, and she said she was sitting in my chair. I said, my chair? She needs to find her own chair and get out of that one. Just make sure she's not in it when I get home. But anyhow, when I get home, I just kind of fall in that chair. And there's a little lever down on the side. You pull that back, and that foot rest comes out. And I go back, whew. That's rest. That's rest. The Bible talks about His everlasting arms. And I want to tell you something. I rest in the everlasting arms of not the lazy boy, but I rest in the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, to abide in Christ means you lean back on Him and leaning on Jesus and nothing else. You don't worry about what's going on in the world. You don't fret over those that are cussing you out. And you don't worry about those that hate you. You just rest in Jesus. I mean to tell you, you grab a hold of what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to get across to you in the Word of God. He says, I love you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ when I was an 8-year-old boy, and I haven't worried about hell ever since. I don't have to worry about hell. I'm resting in Jesus. John could rest because he believed what the Word of God said, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. 1 John 1:7, in case you're wondering where that's at. And then again, he said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John had confessed his sins. In other words, he was fessed up. That's what we need to do, is get all the sin out of our life, fess up, and confess it to the Lord. And then we could say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Proverbs 28 and verse 10 says that those that cover their sin can't be blessed, but they that confess and forsake their sin will have mercy. One of these days we're going to hear the, come up hither and we'll see Jesus and we'll see the face of mercy. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Second, we see John's assurance. Jesus said it three times here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, 12, and 20, that He was coming back, and He was coming back quickly. Now, you know what? Somebody say, well, it's been 2,000 years. When you Christians going to give up on that nonsense? I ain't going to give up on it. Say He's coming back quickly. When it takes place, you're not going to have a chance to get right with God. It'll be fast. John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow, that's a promise of God. Jesus cannot lie. Titus 1:2, I mentioned this last night, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says it's impossible for God to lie. If He's given us all these promises, we better just rest assured that He's going to keep those promises. That's assurance. That's assurance. You know, think about everlasting life. I really believe that we Christians can't grab a hold of that truth, everlasting life. We don't know what everlasting life means because we have too many cemeteries around. Too many times that we've been to the cemetery. I remember my mom died in 99, and I did the funeral of her, you know, and I want to tell you something. It's hard for me to do a funeral of somebody that I love so much. And my mom and dad were very close to me, and when mom passed away, I remember taking her out to the cemetery. It's tough. It's tough. I remember when I was 11 years old, my grandpa died. He was one of my best friends. And I want to tell you something. That was really the first funeral I really remember. And I remember at the cemetery, it was raining that day. And I thought, this isn't right. Put my grandpa in the grave when it's raining. I didn't know if there was going to be an umbrella over his casket for the rest of eternity or what, but I just didn't think it was right. Mom died, Dad died. When I was pastoring up in Black River, our little girl died. I've been to the cemetery too many times. Too many times. I want that assurance that one of these days there'll be no more death. Surely I come quickly. I have my reward with me. I'm giving you exactly what I said I'd give you. I'm giving you everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, that's a promise. And we have the assurance that it'll keep His word. Number three. I only told you I had three things. So, you know, I might get done before He leaves. You know. Third, we see John's readiness. You know, one of the things that we need as Christians is to be ready. Mm-hmm. To be ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready? Are you ready? John was. How do I know he was ready? Because only a person that was ready would pray, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." John was ready to leave this world of sin. I don't know about you, but you look around this world, it ain't getting better, it's getting worse. You know, I 20 years ago, if you'd told me that we'd be seeing the things that we see today, I'd laughed. I'd say, no, certainly there's more sense in this world than that. But now I look at our world and I'm surprised it's not worse. Tell you the truth, to see our public school system the way it is, and to see that there are some kids that actually turn out all right coming out of a public school system, boy, that's the miracle of miracles. But our world's a mess. And John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." He was ready to leave this old world. You know, he saw things that I don't think he wrote down in the book of Revelation. I think that actually some of the things he saw are worse than what we read in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." He was ready to leave this world of sin. He was ready to leave this world with all its allurements, all its pleasures. And by the way, there is pleasure in sin for a season, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11. You can have a good time for a while. You might have a good time with the drugs and the alcohol and the sex, but after a while it catches up with you. He was ready to leave this world, all its hurts and all of its pains. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go up to see Jesus. When I see Him, I'm going to have His body like His body. In other words, this old body is going to change. This old body is going to be revamped, you might say. And the back aches and the headaches and the, you know, all the other aches and pains and the tears that that trickle down our cheeks, those things are going to be gone. All of our headaches and tears will be gone. I love the book of Revelation where it says that the Lord wipes away those tears. He's going to stoop down and wipe away those. All the former things are passed away. John was ready for that, and he said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I want you to look back in 1 John for just a second. I didn't mean to lie to you, but I am almost done. 1 John chapter 3. Notice what it says here in 1 John chapter 3. This is good stuff, by the way. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." You know, we've all seen those pictures of Jesus, the long flowing hair. We've all seen those pictures of Jesus with blonde hair. I guarantee it's not blonde. We've all seen those pictures of Him knocking at the door and all these other things. Yeah, you know, when we see Him, we'll see Him as He is. I don't know about you, but that would make me pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The Apostle Paul said, "I'm now ready to be offered." He was going to lay his life down. He says, I've done everything I can do. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. I'm ready to get out of this world. I'm finished." The Apostle John, standing there at the end of the book of Revelation, he'd seen how the last chapter of this world read, and he said, "I'm ready. I'm finished. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Now, my question to you is this. Can you honestly pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus"? Even if you thought for one second that it would spoil your plans, it would spoil what you have planned. Do you know what? If you go back to Matthew chapter 6 and read that model prayer, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It doesn't say, "Give us this month our daily bread." It's a day-by-day thing. Now, why do you suppose that is? Because we're not assured of any other time than today. "Give us this day our daily bread." What good's all that stuff we got in the freezer? What good's all that stuff we got prepared for this next week or this next month or this next year? It's not doing anything. All of these people that are stocking up thinking that we're going to have a great catastrophe take place, the government's going to take over, we're not going to be able to buy any food, so we've got it all stored in the basement. I guarantee you, your neighbors know you got it stored in the basement. You'll be shot in the head and they'll steal what you have. So what good did it do you to store it up down there in the basement? You're just keeping it for somebody else, some crook to come along and steal it. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Listen, you plant here in this world. You get your roots deep into this world. That's where you want it. When Jesus comes back, He's going to have to uproot a lot of Christians. We need to forget about this world and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, not looking unto the government. Not looking unto even your pastor. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and we focus on Him. Our life will be right. And we can pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." See, I've not got my eyes on those new cars. I don't care about them. I used to, but I don't anymore. I don't have my eye on Texas A&M.
Amen.
Or Alabama. I've got my eye on Jesus. Keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Can you honestly pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus"? Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I just pray You'll do a work in our hearts right now. please, dear God, I pray that you'll help us to make that decision to leave this world behind and to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be able to pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, please work in each and every life right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to open up the altar. You need to come to this old-fashioned altar. Let me ask you to come and do business with God this morning. Don't worry about what people might say or ask or think about anybody. They're not supposed to be looking anyhow. Just come to the altar and pray. Maybe you got some sin in your life. You can't pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus, because you're holding on to something that you shouldn't hold on to. Maybe you've got a lost friend, a lost neighbor, a lost loved one. You need to be praying that they get saved so you can honestly pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Listen, it's hard to pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus, when you have a lost son, daughter, mom, dad, uncle, whatever, grandma, grandpa, whatever. Why don't you come pray for them? Now, the altar's open. Step out and come.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you're not saved here this morning, that's the first thing the Bible says you need to get taken care of this morning. You're going to have to face your own condemnation. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Don't face that condemnation of God. The Bible says, he that believeth on him hath everlasting life. The Bible says that he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God is going to abide on him. Let's make sure we're saved, and let's make sure our friends and family know what that means. And then we could sing again that song. It's been a favorite around here. But I'll fly away someday. Some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to my home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Land where joy shall never end.
probably ought to add a verse to that song. Jesus said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Praise the Lord. That's what we're looking for. The uppertaker rather than the undertaker. Lord bless you for worshiping today. Let's go to the house.